Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. I'm James Hicks. In this episode, Pastor Ben Hill continues his sermon series, Church That Matters, Being Christ to Our Community. The first sermon in the series was entitled Established in Christ from Acts 4, 23 through 37. The second sermon in the series was entitled Engaged in Christ from Acts 16, 4 through 10. And the third sermon in the series entitled Identified by Christ from Revelations 1, 1 through 8. And now here is Pastor Ben and sermon number 4 in Church That Matters, Being Christ to Our Community. Let's listen in.
Church That Matters. Guess what? James, number 4, and it is number 4 and final in this series, Church That Matters. Being Christ to our community. Being Christ to our community. We're going to finish this series up with a thought. I'm going to do a little bit of a rehash. First of all, we looked at the message number 1 about being established in Christ. And it's imperative for us, for you and for me, to be established and for the church to be established on the foundation who is Christ. Christ alone. He is our cornerstone. Amen? And because of that, we can begin to reach out to the community. If we're going to reach out to the community in our own strength and based on our own gathering or our own facility or our own anything else, then we're nothing but a country club. In other words, we must be established in Christ, led and directed by His hand and His direction, following His will to reach out to the community. So we're established in Christ. And then we're engaged by Christ. And that means that we become willing and available for Him to use us. So that when we go out into the community, we're going out as an extension of the Lord. We're going out because He has engaged us to be part of the process. And we are willing then to get involved. You know, one of the things that I believe that I've heard over the years, that to be a Christian, the best thing to do is to be fat. And as North American Christians, we tend to do that right well, don't we? Hi. Okay. We tend to do that right well, fat. But it's not fat like isn't fat. It's fat. F, faithful. A, available. And T, teachable. In other words, the most imperative thing is for us to be available. For a vessel to bring honor, the most important thing for a vessel, a container, is to be usable, right? And so we as children of God, to be engaged by Christ, need to be available and usable. And then we need to be identified by Christ. And that becomes an interesting issue in that we go because Jesus says go. And we go to the community and we minister in the community and to the world around us. Why? Because Jesus is the one. He is the head of the church. He is the one to whom we must bow and to whom we must pray. He is the one who is coming again, right? And so His church is what we're all about. And He will call His church home. So identified by Christ. And then fourth and finally, it gets down to where the rubber meets the road. What does it mean to be a Christian? Listen, I don't believe that we, as children of God, fully understand or get to the place where we can fully realize just how important it is, or fully realize what it means to be a believer, if we do not adopt a posture and a position of service. You understand how important service is in the kingdom of God? So I believe the greatest ultimate thing about a Christian is to be strategic in how we go about it. In other words, we're given the Great Commission to make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. There's a strategy in being the church and being evangelistic in nature, but you cannot do that without first having become a genuine servant before the Lord. Amen? So a service Christian. So if you're excited about this, say amen. If you are really bored and want to get to the food, say, well, don't say anything because you'll embarrass yourself, right? Okay, so here we go. Serving as Christ. Number 1, serving as Christ. I want us to notice, first of all, the exhortation to serve. So turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And we're going to read those together. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The exhortation to serve. Notice what it says. And he himself, that's Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Those are gifts that Jesus gives to the church. You understand that, right? So he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. In other words, these are gifts that the Lord gives, not only to the individual who possesses the ability to do these things and the direction and the calling from the Lord to do these things, but also to those who are privy to that and those in the church who are the benefit of the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, right? So in other words, what we need to do is we need to understand that Jesus exhorts us here to serve. Notice what he says, for the equipping of the super spiritual for the work of ministry. Is that what it says? For the equipping of the super, no, what does it say? For the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? What? Y'all don't sound confident. Who are the saints? We are. So everybody say, I am.
I am.
Point to yourself. I am. Are you a believer? Are you a child of God? Have you surrendered your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he become your salvation for sin? Are you part of the kingdom of God? If so, point again and say, I am. I am a saint. Y'all have a hard time saying this, don't you? You know why? Because you read your own mail. You look at yourself in the mirror. Sorry, Daniel. You look at yourself and you say, whoa, that can't be. Now pause. Again, say, I am. You know why? Because he has declared that you are. Okay? Now get this. We may not look like it yet. We're in the process of being transformed. We're in the process of being shaped and molded and changed into his image. But we are already, by proclamation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I am a saint of God. And now he addresses me and he addresses you in this passage. And here's what he says. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping. What is equipping? Getting ready, it means providing the tools and that which is necessary for something, right? Preparation, that's good. For the equipping of the saints, that's us. For what? The work of ministry. For the work of ministry. So edifying, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So in other words, those gifts that are given to the church, the body, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, those folks that are given are here for the specific role and purpose of doing what? Of equipping you as the church to do what? To minister for the body of Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ. So in other words, guess what? You have been called to minister. Now, when you break down the word minister, what do we find at the root of that? Does it mean wearing a robe? Does it mean preparing the sermon every week? What does it mean? It means servant. So guess what? You are given the gifts that Christ has given to the church to equip you and to prepare you to do what? To serve. I'm sorry, Debbie, that caught me off guard. My wife just walked in and stuck her tongue out at me, so sorry. Okay, so that is the equipping for the work of ministry. So you and I, all of us, are called to do what? To minister, to serve the body of Christ, and we'll, as we'll see later, not just the body of Christ. And here's what the purpose is, and here's the result of that, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, who is Jesus, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So in other words, here's what he's saying. He's saying we all, as the body of Christ, have been given gifts from God through the Holy Spirit, the individuals, to equip us to serve, to edify the body of Christ. Why? So that we might be unified in the body, so that we present to the world outside of us the fullness of Christ himself. Right? The divided church cannot project the fullness of Christ. Why? Because he is not divided. Amen? I don't think you believe me. Amen. So the exhortation to serve. So we see that, number one. Second point, the example of service. Now it gets fun. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to in your Bibles, to the book of John. I will find it here. Oh, there. It's. I'll just pull it out. John, chapter number 13. Okay, we're looking at verses 3 through 5 and 12 through 15. All right, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. I want you to notice in the Greek text, first of all, you can't see that here, but I'll just let you know. All things carries major emphasis in the original text. All things. So the Holy Spirit speaks up a little bit louder. Saying, Pastor, don't get any louder. You're hurting my ears now. But Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God, more emphasis there, and he was going to God, emphasized as well, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. The example of service. And then verses 12 through 15. Skip down. It says, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? All right, now stop. Just pause. Put yourself in that position. Number one, they were uncomfortable with this. Obviously, why? We see Peter's interaction with the Lord. But why were they uncomfortable with this? Their teacher, their master, is taking on a subservient role and the role of a servant, and he is washing their dirty feet. Now, how many of you ever have dirty feet? Mm-hmm. Right? And in that day and in that culture, they wore open-toed sandals, if you will, and they walked across dusty and dirty ground. So everywhere they went, they got dirt all over their feet. And normally, when you went into someone's house or a place that where you were going to dinner or something like that, they would have a servant there as you entered to wash your feet, so that you have clean feet when you sit at the table. Do you make sure your feet are clean before you sit at the dinner table?
No.
Psh, no. Do you wash your hands even?
I used to.
Oh. Okay, well, here we go. All right. Anyway, let's move on, right? I love you. Okay, so what he had. So when he'd washed his feet, first of all, in their position, they were like, oh, Lord, what are you doing this for? And then he asked the question, do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I've done for you, done to you? They're probably thinking, duh. We just washed you, Lord, as you washed our feet. Uncomfortable, awkward, right? We saw you do it, so why are you asking? So obviously the Lord wants them to look further into what had happened. It's not just about the physical act of washing the feet. So he says, do you know what I've done to you? The answer he knew was no, they didn't know. So he proceeded then to explain it to them. And what did he say? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, it's the example of service that Jesus himself gave, but I want you to notice something else. He says, you call me teacher and Lord. All right, now notice that. And then he says, for so I am. So he's saying, I am your teacher. I am your Lord. And you see me in that respect. You look at me and you view me from the perspective I have come from God, and I am teaching you, and you are learning from me, and oh, by the way, I am your Lord. But notice what Jesus does. He turns it around. He said, you say that I am your teacher and Lord, for so I am. If I then, now notice what he does. If I then your Lord and teacher. The order of the words are important here. In other words, he turns it around on them and saying, you follow me because I'm your teacher, and then I'm your Lord in all these things. But I want you to see something. The perspective needs to flip in order for you to do what I'm asking you to do. In that, first of all, you need to notice and see that I am your Lord and your teacher. So in other words, the greatest call of Christ on our lives is the reality that he is our Lord first. So we are never going to be what Christ wants us to be as the church and in the community and as individual believers until we have put it in the right order and understood first and foremost that we follow him because he is our number one, he is our Lord. And oh, by the way, he teaches us, right? And he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So then he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So how cool is that? So what have we seen? We have seen the exhortation to serve. We have seen the example of service, which is Jesus himself. And we could point to 1,000 other examples, right? But then what else do we see? Number three, we see the effect of surrendered service. I want you to go back to Ephesians now, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're looking at verses 14 through 16. That we should no longer be children. Okay, let's back up and read verse 12 again. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now notice that. First of all, the effect of surrendered service. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So what does that mean? If we understand what Christ has told us to do, exhorted us, encouraged us to do, or really instructed us to do, and then we are empowered by and directed by his example, for which the King of all glory, sinless, spotless, never having messed up one time ever, Jesus gets down on his knees and washes the feet of those whom he created. If we see that example and understand that, then we as his children and as the church need to adopt that same posture. So then if when we do that, if we have done that, guess what? We will not be driven by every wind of doctrine, tossed to and fro, being susceptible to the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, listen, if we get to the place where we genuinely serve because Christ has served us, and we serve out of an overabundance of passion to be like him and to do it on his behalf and for him, guess what? we are not going to be susceptible to all the things that come and go. Right? The latest Christian fad does not affect us. Our doctrine is strong. Our position in grace is everlasting, and our heart is tuned to the things of God and for the need that others around us have. In other words, if my head, my mind is focused on and my hands are engaged in the processing of serving others, it's really hard for me to be critical of others. Right? I'm not going to be blown about by any controversy. I'm not going to be twisted in the wind by deceitful plots of the enemy. Why? Because my heart is in tune to the reality that Jesus is my Lord first and my teacher, and I'm surrendered to Him to serve others just as He served me. Are you with me? So the effect of surrendered service, incredible. Now notice what it comes down to the end of that. Being Christ to the community is the whole basis of this whole series that we're looking at. Then we need to serve as Christ. We're exhorted to because Jesus instructs us. We have the example of Him Himself. And then the effect is what? We're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. But then, guess what? When that happens, when all the body knit together by whatever every joint supplies, right? When all the body, no matter what body part we represent within the body, are you with me? When we are all together, everyone doing its share, that means doing what God has called you to do. I've told you before, and I'm going to tell it again because it's funny, and those of you that have heard it, you'll go, Those of you who haven't heard it, you might laugh, okay? You ready for this? There was a time when a whole bunch of toes in the body of Christ got together. You know what I'm going, where I'm going, right? The toes got together in the body of Christ and they were having a toe prayer meeting. So all these toes are gathered in a room and they are meeting and praying, and somebody says, you know what, this whole toe thing isn't very glamorous, is it? So somebody else says, yeah, it really isn't, right? And about that time, there's a knock on the door. And they go to the door, this toe goes to the door and opens the door. Really weird how that happened. But anyway, he opens the door, and what do they see standing there? They see an eyeball. And the eyeball says, hey, I heard there's a Bible study going on here, a prayer meeting. Can I come in? Okay. So the eyeball goes in, and he sits among the toes. And they're going about the process, and then finally the eyeball says, you know what? You guys don't understand, man. You have no idea what you're missing. You know? You're just toes. Man, you need to be an eyeball. Eyeballs get to see all the glory of creation. Eyeballs get to see all the things that are going on. The eyeball tells the rest of the body what's happening because we're one of the primary senses, and all of a sudden, it's awesome. Man, you really should be eyeballs. But oh well, I'm tired of being here with you toes, so I'm leaving. So he goes out. So then what do the toes do? Well, obviously the toes can't, wait a minute, Lord, why did you make us toes? We're tired of being toes. Lord, please make us eyeballs. We want to be eyeballs, Lord. We're praying for a miracle. God, make us eyeballs. Tired of being a toe. So the Lord says, okay, fine. He acquiesced. And the Lord said, fine, okay, you toes, all of you, poof, you're now eyeballs. But all you'll ever see is the inside of a sock. I thought it was funny. Wayne did not. He is not laughing. Okay, so what's the point? The point is, are you a toe? If you are, it's because you were made a toe. And who made you the toe? The Lord did. And where did He place you? He placed you in a toe spot to do what toes do. And when we understand that wherever God has placed us, that's where we're called to serve, and we willingly do that because He's our Lord, and we follow Him, then the effect is, wait a minute, we're all joined together and knit together. Now listen, I'm teasing about the toes and eyeballs and all that good stuff, except for this. Have you ever talked to anybody that's lost their big toe? It's just easy peasy, no problem, right? Guess again. Balance is off. They have to learn how to walk all over. Are you with me? So no matter where you are in the body of Christ, no matter what place He has put you in the body of Christ, if you are not functioning and doing what God has called you to do, then the entire body suffers. Right? So what happens is from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does it share, then, and only then, Jesus causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Listen, you want to grow in grace and wisdom and knowledge of the Lord? You want to grow in number and effectiveness and service in the community? You want to do all those things? Then we need to understand that our role and purpose is to serve each other and to serve the community and to be a part of what God wants done in this community. We are an extension of Him. We are His hands and His feet to the world around us that is lost. When we do that, then God will bring the automatic result of growth, not only personally and spiritually, but numerically and in impact. Because why? We are together as one for the edifying of the body. And it's all in love. Wow. I went the wrong way. The exhortation to serve, the example of service, the effect of surrendered service. So serving as Christ, Jesus, then we need to recognize, gives the exhortation to serve to the church. Where do our instructions come from? Our bylaws? Our process manual? From Jesus, from the Lord, from His Word, from God. Our exhortation to serve comes from Him. Right? And then secondly, Jesus is the example of service to the church. We do not have to look anywhere else other than Christ Himself to be given all the example we need that ours is a place of serving and is necessary. And then Jesus brings the effect of service by the church. So in other words, the effect of being servants in the body of Christ will be visible. But it'll be visible not because we've done everything we can to assure that that happens. It'll be visible because it's a natural outgrowth of the process of serving according to the direction of Christ. Are you with me? All right, you think the sermon's over, right? Not quite. So we, the church, in order to be a church that matters, we need to do several things. First of all, we need to understand the freedom to serve. Turn with me, if you will, back to John's Gospel. You're going to have to find it in your Bible because I don't have the scripture back up on the screen again. John chapter number 13. And we're looking again at verses 3 through 10. We need to understand what? Not only the instruction to serve, but the freedom to serve. Follow with me here. Go to verse number 3. But Jesus, knowing that the Father had given, remember I talked about emphasis, all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God. Notice that. I want you to notice that those are three things that Jesus absolutely knew about Himself. You're saying, well, He knew everything. He's got, yeah, I know, but I want to highlight them. Three things He absolutely knew. First of all, that the Father had given how many things? All things. How much? All things. Into whose hands? Christ's hands, right? Are you with me? So He knew that all things had been given to Him by decree of God the Father. And that He had come where? From where? From God. So He knew all things had been given to Him. He knew that He came from the Father. He knew that He was born of a virgin, being bequeathed by the Holy Spirit of God. He knew that. Right? So he knew that all things were his. He knew that he'd come from God. And he knew that he was what? Going to God, back to him. Those three things he absolutely knew of himself. Now I want you to pause. Stop right where you are. Look back at me. I want you to remember back early in this message where I had you point to yourself, and I want you to do it again. And I want you to say, I am a saint because Jesus said I am. Now watch. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? He says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go therefore. So in other words, Jesus said, all the authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I now give to you. And in that, I want you to go and do the things that I'm asking you to do. So in other words, here's the reality. In a very different way, but a very much the same way. All three things that were true of Jesus that he knew of himself are true of you and me and us. You say, what in the world? All things have been given into our hands. Guess what? Jesus owns the cattle on a thousand. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is the Lord over all things. He is sovereign. Jesus, the Son of God, has all things given unto him. And he says, now go, because I give it to you. You operate in the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do you realize that? When we pray, when we say in Jesus' name, it's not just because it's cool and you got to end your prayer that way. We say in Jesus' name because we are praying in the authority of the Son of God himself. Y'all look at me, and some of you look at me like you're scared. I'm not being scary. Right? So in other words, the same is true for us. All things are given in his hand. All things are ours. Guess what? I am rich in the kingdom. Right? Yeah, you look at my bank account, you'd say that's the most odd statement to ever say, I am rich. But I am rich in grace. I'm rich in the knowledge that, man, I am a child of God. And all things are his. And he said, you are mine. I inherit the kingdom of heaven because of what Jesus did. So all things are mine. And that he had come, number two, from God. Now guess what? I have been born again. If you have been forgiven of your sin, if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the only way to heaven, then you have been born again. Remember the discussion, the rich young ruler was like, Nicodemus was like, well, what do you mean going back, being born again? Oh, you don't understand. You were born of water. You were born the natural human process of birth. But now you have been born from above by the Spirit of God. So guess what? I have been born into the family of God. Therefore, I have come from him by extension of the fact that he has given himself to me. Are you with me? So I have the full confidence of understanding and knowing that I don't do what I do as long as I'm following the will of God. I don't do it in my own authority or on my own strength or for my own purposes or on my own agenda or my own reasons. I do it for and because of him. So I come from him and I'm operating because he said do it. Church, Grace Point, listen, we do what we do not because we want to be something. We do what we do because we are an extension of the body of Christ and we are his hands, his feet. We are his instrument to reach this community. And we do it because we go in his authority. And hell can just take a back seat. Right? Because he said go. So then we have been, I'm getting long, sorry. So we come from him, and then he was going to God. Now, folks, listen. If you don't believe that as a child of God you're going to heaven one day, then you just need to spend an entire day listening to Southern gospel music. Because it'll let you know right quick you're going to glory. Right? It is the most optimistic music there is on the planet. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Right? As a child of God, I will not taste death as the world does. I'll merely pass through on my way to glory, right? So we're going back to God. So it's in that authority. We need to understand. So now what? Now wait a minute. What does all that mean? Here's what that means. In order to serve, I need to be completely comfortable with being selfless. Right? I need to be completely comfortable with being selfless. Listen, how do I have the freedom to be selfless? Because of what we just talked about. Jesus has given us all things. He has made us righteous in His sight. He has said that not only are we born from above, but we're going back to glory. We're going to glory and we'll spend eternity there. So because of all that, it really makes no difference what anybody says, thinks, feels, or anything down here. Why? Because I am secure in Him. I have the freedom to not have to be served. I have the freedom to be the one who serves. Amen? So we need to understand we have the freedom to serve. And then secondly, we need to serve each other. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. What does it say? Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen, there is no greater testimony of Christ than for the body of Christ to be unified for the cause of Christ. We have the freedom to serve, so then why do we not serve one another? I don't care if you're a toe, a knee, an ear, or an eyeball. You are part of the body of Christ and you are an integral member of what God is building, and so you have the freedom to serve. And you know what? Serve away. Amen? And then number three, serve those around us. In other words, we're to take what we've been given according to the Great Commission, and according to the Great Commission as stated in Mark's Gospel, where he says, go into the highways and the byways and preach the gospel. To do unto others, to listen. It's the call of our church to do what? To love our neighbor as ourself. So in order to be a church that matters, we need to understand we have the freedom to serve, number one. We need to understand that we serve each other first. Because listen, we are His body and we must be unified in the cause of Christ. And then number three, we serve those around us. We take the message of love in Christ to the world around us by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Are you with me? So I'm going to ask you a question. You want to be a church that matters? Do we want to be Christ to our community? Then we'll serve as Christ. Amen?
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To listen to more sermons from Pastor Ben, you can subscribe to this podcast, watch past sermons on our YouTube page, or watch live on Sunday mornings on our Facebook page. You can also follow us on social media through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. All of these links are accessible on our website, www.gracepointsc.org. That is www.gracepointsc.org. If you like what you hear from the Grace Point Church podcast, give us a rating or comment on your podcast platform if they allow. For Pastor Ben Hill and Grace Point Church, I'm James Hicks. Thank you for listening.